You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Clip-clop goes the trail, sun is rising high. Two gals in the saddle, neath the big Nevada sky. Laughing and chatting as the desert rolls on by. It's saddle talk, come along for the ride.
Welcome, listeners, to Saddle Talk with Sandy and Kara. Whether you're here to laugh with us, learn, or just ride along, you're in for a really good time. So go grab your helmet or your pooper scooper and settle in with us as we discuss life, horses, of course, and all the unexpected turns along the trail. And hey, whether you're a seasoned cowgirl or you're still learning, remember, we're sharing our own stories and opinions based on decades of personal experience. Always ride safe and check with a professional before trying anything new. Now let's go ride. So we're starting our episode with a Hail Mary, because Mary, my ghost, I said ghost at my house. Oh my God. She has messed up two of our recordings. This is our third attempt.
Okay. So let's back up and explain to our listeners what's going on.
Yes, please. I feel like you should tell them this intro story to the mayhem that, can we just be honest, is kind of like life.
Such life.
Life throws you lemons, and it threw us lemons for two episodes that we attempted to record.
This is our third recording.
Girl.
I don't even know where to start. Okay. So you have told me before that you thought you had a ghost in your house. And I believe in ghosts. I do. I go to every ghost tour, haunting in Virginia City. I love them. I'm afraid of meeting one. But I am intrigued. And 2 weeks ago, when we did our first recording of this, I walked through your kitchen, down the hallway to get our gear. And on the way back, you had three drawers open and the cabinet door under your sink were open.
So that's four total openings.
Yes.
That were not me.
No. And I walked in and you were sitting at the table getting the computer ready. And I looked at you and said, what's going on? And you looked at me and you're like, dude, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, you have drawers open and your cabinet. And you said, it's the ghost. I said, what? No lie. Two of your... They're utensil drawers, but they're not used for the two that were facing me were not used for, they're not used for utensils.
And they were pulled all the way out.
They were pulled all the way out. The one you do use for utensils is near the sink. But that's where it lines up with the cabinet door. And the cabinet door was open and that drawer was resting on it.
Yes. So the drawer was resting on the cabinet door, which I have never done since I moved here.
You're also very clean.
I am a very clean person.
You were the only one home when I got here. And your husband was at work. And you're not a prankster.
It wasn't my dogs. I wasn't trying to prank you because we know.
You suck at pranking.
I'm not that quick-witted. I'm a nice person. I am not that quick-witted.
And you're funny.
I'm funny, but that's not my game.
You would have folded before we even got to how you achieved the prank. And
I would have, you know me. I just would have laughed and been like, haha, yeah, I pranked you.
And I didn't go that far. I just went down the hallway.
Mm-hmm. And I don't move that fast anymore.
So I do believe that you have a ghost. And when I asked you, you said her name is Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And you believe that she is a woman who passed away in the home. And I don't want to really get into the detail because we're going to do an episode on Mary.
Yeah, and maybe we are going to find someone to help us with her because I think she's in limbo a little bit. She turns my TV on and off as well at weird different times, mostly on.
The only thing with the TV is in this day and age with internet extenders, Wi-Fi extenders, remote controls, frequencies, who knows? Somebody could argue that maybe there's someone on your frequency nearby, even though we all live on acre lots, and somehow the TV comes on.
It's not just that TV, though.
Or, I'll let you get to that, but or your remote is in the in the sofa and your dog jumped up on the couch and stepped on it.
Except that this happens multiple times a week.
I agree with you, and I believe that you have a Mary. I'm just looking at, as a devil's advocate of other people that might be looking in or listening, what they might be saying. So as far as the TV is concerned, I agree with you, and I believe you. I also, if somebody else wants to disagree, I'm not going to argue with them.
Right.
On electronics. You just can't these days. However, that in the kitchen? No. Like, I walked through there.
Oh, I see what you're saying. That's an electronic issue versus this, which is a physical piece of material that moved.
Yes. And we didn't even hear it.
And we did not hear it at all. It was silent.
And those drawers make noise.
Because they have utensils in them.
Correct.
Metal.
Well, they also, they're wooden. And they squeak.
They do squeak because they're kind of old. It is, my kitchen is cute, but it's from the 70s. Mm-hmm. And I feel this weird desire to keep that place crazy clean since I moved here. That's why my kitchen is, well, I guess my kitchen's always kind of clean. But I don't know. I feel like I can't change that kitchen. It's really cute. She has these paintings from her best friend. And it's this famous lady in town. I've seen her work elsewhere. So I just feel this desire to leave that as a time capsule. I think that she's in a stage, obviously. I do see her once or twice a year.
And how do you see her?
She will wake me up in the middle of the night.
How?
And she will walk down my hallway.
But what wakes you up?
I just wake up and then I see
naturally?
Her. Yeah. So theoretically, she could be there more often. It's just there are certain times when I do wake up and see her. And it's this sort of a black fog in the shape of a person walking down my hall, and they're not very happy.
Why do you say they're not happy?
Because I just get a negative vibe of, I don't know if it's that I'm not welcome or it's more that they're in their own mind or something. Like, it's kind of like when you see a dog that truly hates you because you're, you know,
alive.
That's the feeling I get from this cloud of whatever. It's walking down and it's the tempo of the pace. It's the body language of this thing without a body. And so I've seen her a few times, and I actually used to keep my bedroom in the master bedroom, but that must be where she passed because we know she passed in the house. Mm-hmm. And that place creeped me out so much, I didn't last 4 months in there. I actually made my husband move our very heavy, huge bed into one of the guest rooms. And then that was too small, so we moved into another guest room, all in an attempt to not be in the master bedroom. I'm not kidding, even though that one has a really nice bathroom to go with it.
It's an ensuite.
It's an ensuite, and I do not want to be near anywhere near that bathroom. That bathroom gives me the jeebies. Mm-hmm. It really does creep me out. Like, if I have to take a shower in there, I hurry. Mm-hmm. I'm like a 3-minute Girl Scout shower.
Well, this won't be the Mary episode. We definitely are going to try to find
someone.
We're in Northern Nevada. We are next door to Virginia City. I'm just saying, we're in Virginia City. There are ghost hunters. And I'm sure they get a lot of crazy emails. So the email that I sent, the voicemail that I left, I'm sure they're not going to jump on it.
Yeah.
So if it just means that we go to Virginia City and go to one of the haunted tours,
yeah,
and just talk to them in person.
There's got to be someone up there.
I know there will be.
That's so true.
My son keeps telling me about a psychic who advertises in downtown. I don't know if I really believe that. I believe in psychics, just not those that advertise like Tyler Henry, who you introduced me to, watched a whole day of all of his stuff.
So binge-worthy.
Girl.
Yeah.
I believe in him. I do. I believe in him. So worth the ticket. I'm so excited. We're going to go see him in September. And I'm going to take an object of my dad's.
Aww.
I'm very excited.
Good. I'm glad.
I'm so excited.
I wanted to see him for a while. And then when it popped up on my feed, I was like, oh, heck yeah. And I bought you and me and my niece a ticket. So we're all going to go in September. I'm jazzed.
Me too.
So maybe between now and then, it'd be really cool if we could find someone to help me, someone with Mary.
Yes.
I don't think that she's a happy entity.
Yes. And we're going to have somebody come in that is a medium or a ghost hunter and see what they can see.
Yes.
And we will definitely record it. And we're definitely going to do an episode on it and maybe throw in a few ghost horses.
I'm down.
So let's get down to business. Pony update. We like to do a pony update now on our various...
Chicago girl, what's going on with your baby?
Well, I don't know if everybody is following us on Facebook. We certainly hope you will. We could use the followers. I've been posting videos of my new one, Kaya, and Autumn as side-by-side buddies, and they're not the happiest. I think it's because they're both still having their cycles, and Autumn is 25 years old. Kaya just turned 6. So they are, you know, you've got your old person who's still in her cycle and your young person who's feisty. And every time they walk to where I feed, Autumn gives her a side look. Kaya's like, oh yeah, bitch, bring it on. And the funny thing is, Autumn doesn't kick. I don't see anything. Kaya does gymnastics. And the video I showed you, she is jumping so high with her back legs. All it takes is for a shift, and she would be over the top of that.
That was Hannah. If I'm being honest, that was one of the scariest videos I've seen of a horse not get hurt. Mm-hmm. Just because when she kicked, both legs went so high, it was as if her like flank and pelvis and both back legs were above the height of a stallion panel. Mm-hmm. And all she had to do was shift 6 inches midair, and she would have had her whole left leg hanging on one side. If she shifted 8 inches, it could have been both.
Yes.
And she would be hung up there and unable to get down. So I'm so glad that you have a ring camera on your horses and could get that.
So I would like to just tell you the dynamics of the other three horses. Autumn is in charge of Shooter. Shooter is in charge of Max. And Max is in charge of Autumn. So I chose to put Max next to Kaya, and I put Autumn and Shooter together, and they did okay. Well, Max was sniffing around the goods because she's in heat, and he started biting her, and she started kicking like she did with Autumn. So not a good pair. So I put Max and Autumn together and Shooter and Kaya together. Much better pair. Shooter doesn't care about her heat. He sniffs, but she just gives him a little with her foot. She does not get out of control.
Mm-hmm. Whereas, No gymnastics.
However, Max and Autumn together, Max had already bitten Autumn in the butt twice. So I couldn't do that. Well, my husband, who likes to come up with really great ideas, honestly, I say that with a little sarcasm, but in all honesty, he has some really great ideas. But sometimes it's a little much, and I'm like, no, I don't need to do that. Well, that's what he did when we decided to have 4 horses. He said, oh, I can separate them so each horse has their own space. And I was like, no. So I had to revisit it. Of course, I had to walk back and go, guess what, honey? I think you might be right. Can we revisit
that? Tell the man he's right.
It's kind of hard. You don't want to set that precedence, but we did. So... we have them separated now in 4 individual areas. And if I'm being honest, it's a great idea.
It is.
Everybody has a lot of space. I work with Kaya so much. Her space is a little smaller than the other 3. She's a smaller horse, and I do more with her. So she gets out more than they do. So I don't think it's going to be detrimental to her horsey health. And I think now everybody will live in harmony. And I think it's just... what it needed to be. And I'm really happy, and the horses are happy, and, you know, bites are being able to heal. And I watch Shooter and Kaya all night, almost every day. Aww. And I have not seen anything that's giving me too much concern.
You mean on your ring cameras?
On my ring camera, sorry.
They have the nighttime vision.
They
is that
do.
A,
that's it's
so cool.
Crazy. It's crazy.
You know, I do need to buy one for my
no,
horses.
No, I'm getting you one for whatever next holiday is coming up. I'll get you one from Mother's
Day. That's what friends are for.
It is. It is. You need more than one.
Okay.
But I'll start out with one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Welcome. So what's your pony report? Who are you going to talk about?
I've actually got a couple things going on. I'm really excited. I have a student, and she has decided to lease Aspen. I'm very excited because she's an excellent fit for that horse. And I'm a weirdo in that I like having one horse. Don't get me wrong. I've had 4 before. We lived through that, and it spread me thin because I'm kind of psycho about their care. I'm an amazing steward. Like, if you have an elderly animal, I am the place to send your elderly animal because I treat them like they're people.
Yes.
I give them so much care. So I'm down to two, which is wonderful, but I really want to be down to one. So I'm so excited because now she's here a few days a week, taking care of it, leasing it. And I give her a lesson a week, which is really fun for me because it makes me get out of the house and go help someone that needs it.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Okay.
Then Armani, I'm really excited about. We just had a lesson this weekend with my Pirelli trainer, Jessica.
How'd that go?
Oh my gosh. It's like this magic that I didn't know existed because I think I always think of things in terms of a human, and I've had so much experience with horses that I can get tunnel vision, right? And I've always been very open-minded to different things. But I think my favorite thing about this whole Pirelli journey is that I am learning a horse's psychology and a horse's point of view. So he had a really bad time a couple weeks ago, and he was a total brat. Like he tried to kick me in the head. He struck out with his forearm. He was rearing. He was being a total a-hole. But it was 10 feet away.
Perfect.
I was like, okay, this is progress. At least you're not trying to murder me right next to me, right? Like, you're doing all that 10 feet away. That's progress. So he had this sort of mini meltdown, and it didn't last that long because I'm not going to play that game. And I got him to put up with.
Tolerate.
He was just tolerating the rope. And I mean, he was his old self. He was attacking the rope like it was a snake and he was a donkey. Like, it was full on aggression. Okay.
And if anybody wants to see a video on that, go to our YouTube channel because I uploaded a video of him doing just that. And you would think it's a snake.
Yeah, it's totally nuts. So he was all of the antics, the grab bag of craziness right in front of me. It didn't last very long, but I was not defeated. The cool thing was the next day he was perfect. He's been perfect since. And so that led me to introduce him to the bridge, which your husband built for me.
Yes.
Love him. So he built a really nice big bridge for me and Armani to work on because we're moving up to trailering. Armani's issue is trailering, literally. He wouldn't get on a plane. He doesn't like tight spaces. That's why I own him. I got lucky.
Well, and even when we went to go pick him up at the rescue, those two girls, I don't know how they do it. These girls are amazing. They had two horse panels and they were cornering him in. And you and I are just standing there letting him do it because we're not going to get involved. And we're watching them and we're looking at each other going, well, this is going to have to change because there's no way.
Yeah.
Like, he needs to be trained. They were amazing how they got him in, but they had two horse panels and they made it like a corner.
Mm-hmm.
And corralled him into that trailer.
It was one of the best trailering like situations I've seen in my entire 40 something years. Those girls, they're at Love Your Horse. It's a nonprofit. This is a tangent. If you need a horse, you might want to check them out because they train their horses there.
And don't be confused by the word rescue, or don't shy away just because it's a rescue. They get some amazing horses mm-hmm. that are mostly Arabians.
Mostly.
They also get Arabian crosses. You got lucky. You got a
Lusitano.
That's freaky. So freaky. And theirs have won. They have won races. What is that race that they
do? She does the Tevis. She's one of the youngest competitors ever. And I think the first African-American girl.
Absolutely.
So check out Love Your Horse. When they trailered him, we were just in awe. So, yep, we're building up to that trailering. And I had a couple positive experiences with him in the past week. And I just put cookies on the bridge so that he wanted to go near it. He's the most food motivated horse I've ever been around. So that was cool. And yesterday, Jessica helped me get him on the bridge. We did get all 4 feet up for an instant. He can put one up and relax, two up and then relax, kind of. And then for an instant, we got 3 and 4. So that was where we paused yesterday. And my homework in the next 3 weeks of my life is to help him relax and get all 4 feet up and be relaxed.
Yes.
And then we'll be able to go places.
Yes.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. Agree. So that's my pony update. I'm very excited about the Pirelli journey. And it's freaking me out because I'm just so not Pirelli. But you know what? I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, girl.
You got to drink the Kool-Aid. You got to do it.
Because it's working.
You got to do it.
I'm doing it. Yeah. I am the old lady with the rope.
I feel though that if, I mean, we don't really endorse anyone like right now, like that's mm-hmm. not kind of like our thing.
No.
But I would have to say that if anybody wants to pick something, commit to it. You know, if that's Pirelli, if that's another natural horsemanship, that's great.
Just go with that system.
But commit.
Yeah.
I think that's the key.
You're right. I am. I'm committed. I am a very committed person naturally. So that makes sense to me.
And Pirelli is a good one. And Jessica, and we're going to have Jessica on. It's okay for us to say her name. We have her permission to say her name.
Yay.
And we're going to have her on.
I know. I'm excited. She actually said yes to an interview. So we'll look forward to that one in the future.
Yes.
But today's episode is actually about life stages. We opened it with Mary. She's in her death stage, but she don't know it.
She's not done. And yes, yes. And I would like to start off with the three life stages that women go through, which is premenopause, when you hit puberty and you are in maybe your mid-30s to late-30s. And then I see that as like a phone call, just a little phone call saying, hi, I hear you joined. We're so happy to have you as a member. Just know that we'll be here whenever you're not ready. We'll be here, okay? And that's a phone call in premenopause. And then there's perimenopause. And that is the knock at the door. Hello, knock, 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 knock. I'm here. And that is when things start changing and your periods are maybe they're on, maybe they're off. And then there's menopause. And menopause is you've opened the door, the bitch walks in, and you're in it. And that's the rest of your life. Menopause.
Is that a good thing? I'm just wondering, because I'm in the peri phase, and I'm going insane.
Peri is where the chaos happens.
Okay.
Peri is where people say you're crazy. And you're not crazy. You're hormonal.
I just feel crazy.
You will feel crazy.
Yeah.
For a while. And
define a while.
Different for everybody. It's different for everybody. I stopped having my period altogether when I turned 50. I will never forget that age. That was the best age. No more tampons.
For my birthday.
No more tampons. No more pads. No more birth control. None of that. It stopped. And my experience with menopause is going to be different than yours. And different than other people, different than our listeners. So I'm not here to say it's all rainbows and kittens. It's not. For me, I still get night sweats. I do. Not as bad as when they first start. When they first start, your bed is soaked.
I've had those.
Yes. Your clothes, if you wear pajamas to bed. Part of the reason why I stopped wearing pajamas to bed, because I would rather just sweat and wash my sheets and, you know, clean my mattress. Because when your clothes are also sweaty and then you're rolling in it, it's just nasty.
That sounds horrible.
It is horrible. It is.
So you're still having night sweats in menopause.
Yes. They're not as bad as the perimenopause stage, though. I get hot. So now I sleep with just a fitted sheet and a comforter with one foot out of the thing. Yeah. And I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to. I don't think anyone's going to come to my house. I sleep with my door open. You know, it's like the bedroom door open. And in the dead of winter, when it gets below zero, I still have my door open. I just can't sleep. And I still sleep without any pajamas on.
And here I was looking forward to menopause. Like, truly.
Yours might be different.
It better be, because peri has been a roller coaster for me. And I've been in it for a while, because I started having anxiety attacks when I was 36. And I would have these crazy night sweats, like you're saying, where the pajamas were drenched, the sheets were drenched, and it was like I peed the bed, but yes. I didn't pee the bed. It was just so wet everywhere.
Yes.
And so my doctor was pretty cool. But, you know, when I moved to Nevada, we're in this sort of like medical desert.
We are.
You know, people, there's just not as many people here that actually can treat us and understand me and all of the things. My doctors in SoCal were magical.
More compassionate.
More compassionate. Thank you. And knowledgeable. And they didn't blow me off.
No.
But here, I don't know, I'm not having as good a luck. So I reached out to you, like always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when I was going through perimenopause, I remember it was mostly when my kids were playing soccer. I was getting so angry. And one time I was at a soccer practice with one of my kids, and the soccer coach had a younger child that they just brought, right? And they're out there coaching. Well, this younger child kept coming up to me, and I was sitting there trying to watch my kids. And I believe that I, in a parent voice, right, I told that child to go away. And that child, I don't remember it crying. And I say it because I don't remember if it was a little boy or a little girl. That child must have gone and cried to its mom, because that night I got a phone call from the coach.
Oh my gosh.
Yelling at me that I should never talk to their child like that again. I don't remember the details of what I said back, but I pulled my kid off the soccer team, which my kid did not care.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But that's, I saw red. You know, usually when you get upset, there's like a line. You know, I'm close to the line. When you're in perimenopause, you jump over that line. You want to see it's in the background. You never even see it.
I can feel what you're saying, because I want to say about 8 months ago-ish, I was just angry all the time. And
you were. I even noticed. Because you're such not an angry, you're so not an angry person. And sometimes I want you to get angry. And we'll have conversations about, you know, people in our lives. And I want you to be upset, and you're not. And it irritates me.
You're like, be angry.
Like, come on. You should be angry.
How does that not piss you off?
I know. So I knew there was a time you were not yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You weren't mean.
No.
You're never mean to me.
No.
You weren't mean, but I could tell there was something off about you.
I think it felt like my emotional trigger for anger was just so much faster, right? Like, my depth for happiness and angry were different. So my depth of happiness just felt shallow, and my depth of anger just felt big, and it was ready to explode at any minute, which is not my normal. I'm very happy-go-lucky Pollyanna sort of person.
Yes. And so I went to my doctor in SoCal, who I absolutely loved, and she put me on Prozac. We actually didn't, she didn't just jump to Prozac. We did a test. So for, I think, a month, I had to write down what would trigger me, the times it would trigger me.
Oh.
And there were other questions. And she said that I had PMSD.
PMSD.
Premenstrual syndrome disorder.
Oh.
So the disorder part is probably what allowed me to go on Prozac and not have to pay for much. So I was on Prozac probably for 4 years, and I really wanted to come off. By this time, she was no longer an OBGYN, so I didn't go to her anymore. And when I needed to get a refill, I had to go to a psychiatrist to sign for the refill. And he was a male doctor, and I told him I would really like to wean myself off, because it's not something I really wanted to stay on, because it did make me a little not caring about much. So you go from being super pissed to, so the way I knew the Prozac was working is I used to be deathly afraid of bees and getting stung.
Okay.
And I don't really know why, but I did.
It was a phobia.
It was just a phobia.
Okay.
I remember after I was on the Prozac for probably 6 months, I remember being in the backyard, and I remember doing something, and there was a bee. And I looked at the bee, and I thought, oh, there's a bee. And I was like, oh my God. I'm not overreacting and being stupid. That's how I knew.
Must
the
be the drugs.
It was. It was. Better living through chemistry, I'm telling you. So I was very upset with that doctor telling me. Oh, I didn't say what he said. Okay. So I told him I wanted to be weaned off the Prozac. And he said to me, you're going to be on it for the rest of your life. And I thought, why would you say that? Like, why would you say
scary.
That to me?
Yeah.
And I'm not. I'm not
yeah,
on
you're
it
not
anymore.
Currently on it.
And I totally believe in natural products if they work for you. If seriously, if, it's almost like when you go to have a baby, every new first time mom wants to do it naturally. And I say, I can't even say that with a straight face. We all do. I didn't want to have an episiotomy. I didn't want to be shaved. You know, women out there, you know, when you shave your pubes, it hurts growing back. I didn't want to be shaved. I just didn't want it. I didn't want any of that. I had everything. I didn't want an epidural because I don't like those. I'm like, the needles are like this, right?
Did you get one?
I didn't have to have an episiotomy. I ended up with a C-section.
Okay.
And yes, I got an epidural.
Mm.
Because why? Why put yourself through that pain? And it's pain. I want to feel it. I don't want to hurt the baby. Trust me, you're not going to hurt the baby. You don't want to feel the pain. Like, come on.
There's a reason why there's medical technology and it's popular.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And God put those very smart people on this planet to come up with all that stuff and smart people to be able to administer those shots safely.
Mm.
So, anyway, I was able to get myself weaned off. I don't recommend people trying to wean themselves off. I tried that one. I tried one time.
Okay.
It was awful. I have very vivid dreams. And I got to tell you about this dream that I had.
Okay.
So I had a dream that I was in my arena on the street side and I was doing something. And this little truck with a camper shell on it was driving down that street and it had a window in the back of the camper shell. And as soon as it passed by me, it stopped and I looked at it and then it started driving away slowly, like it wanted me to look.
That just sounds creepy.
It was so creepy. And this was without Prozac. And I stood up and I watched it. And it started going a little faster and a little faster. And then at one point, all these dirty kids, dirty looking, like scruffy, they were all up against that window at the back of the camper shell, like, save me. And what? I was trying to fumble for my cell phone so I could take a picture. And I don't know if you know this, but technically in dreams, you can't read. You can't really tell time. So, I mean, it's a study. But if I'm being honest, I'm kind of one of those people that can manipulate my dreams. It has to be the right condition. It's not like, oh, I'm special and I can do all this. If I was that special, I'd be able to talk to Mary. But I'm not. So, but I can manipulate my dreams, which, ladies, if you can manipulate your dreams, it's pretty cool.
Pony up.
At a certain, yeah. So, I can. And I have been able to read letters. Not the only time I was able to make out a word is because I think I knew what the letters in that word were.
Okay.
So in my brain, I knew the word was, for example, clock, but I only knew because whatever, who cares?
Yeah. So what did you manipulate this time?
Nothing. I couldn't. I was hoping, like, I wish that this was one of those times where I could, like, take the stupid picture because maybe I was having a premonition.
Like child abduction.
Trafficking.
Right.
Maybe
I mean, we do
in
live
a neighborhood.
We live in a hub
that drives a little truck with a camper shell that I should be aware of. Who knows? I don't know. Anyway, so when I tried to wean myself off the Prozac, I had even worse dreams than that, and they were so vivid. So I don't recommend you doing that. Always go to a doctor if you're on it, and if you choose to go off of it, you know, work. And if you go to a doctor and he says you're going to be on it for the rest of your life, get a new doctor. Because you can get off of it.
That's a good
idea. So what have you been using in your life stages, in your perimenopause?
So when I started having panic attacks, I didn't know what to do. I really was not okay because I'd never faced that before. So I went to a regular doctor and they put me on, what's that one that you sleep with? Oh, Ambien, because I wasn't sleeping. So I started having all these panic attacks. I was having hot flashes, all of these things. I got put on birth control right away because I had an IUD that was copper. Love my copper IUD. She worked so well for me because whenever I'm on birth control, I get migraines. When you go to the off week and you have to get off the progesterone or whatever it is, that off week, my life sucks and I can't see straight for 3 days, 4 days. So I got on birth control and then they put me on Ambien because I wasn't sleeping. But that sent me down a rabbit hole of hell. I got so sick on that stuff and I was 4 months in. I was completely addicted to it chemically. My body was chemically addicted to it. And I started losing hair. I don't know if I told you about this, but I was legit addicted to that.
Really?
Yeah. It was one of the worst things that's ever happened to me is becoming an addict, not on purpose.
Yes.
Because I've been surrounded by drug addicts throughout my life, and I never wanted to be on anything, right? You watch drugs affect people in a negative way. And I didn't always know what I wanted, but I know I didn't want that. So when this happened to me, I did exactly what you said not to. I weaned myself off. The moment I figured out what was wrong, I was actually, that morning I left my house and I had the worst thought in my mind. I thought I could just step in front of a bus. And not, I know, it was crazy. It was this random thought that entered my brain and then I had no emotion behind it.
It's called an intrusive thought.
Intrusive. I had that intrusive thought and I'm not normally a person who has those. So here I was suffering mentally and emotionally. I'm having no sleep. I'm wetting the bed with my sweat glands every night. I'm not resting. So then I had this intrusive thought and I kept walking and I thought, that's not okay. Something is wrong. So then I go to work. I'm working and there is nothing happening in my room. Like there's nothing crazy happening. My students love me. Nothing is wrong. And I'm sitting there watching this really cool scene from a film because I was teaching an art class at the time. And I'm watching this amazing scene and I think it was the movie Grease. Because in the movie Grease, there's like this dance scene we were analyzing. Not joking. It was amazing. I start having a panic attack in the back of the room during this, you know, 6 minute little thing. So I call the front office. They send up a security guard and she pulls me into this little back cubby and she says, Kara, you need to go home. You look horrible. And I'm sitting there thinking like, what the heck is wrong with me? How could this happen? So of course I take the time off. My boss is amazing. My security guard is amazing. And I get home and I'm sitting on my couch thinking like, I love my life. I have this amazing job that I absolutely love. I have a horse. I have all these things. What is wrong? And it was the drugs. I thought, you know what? That's the one thing I've changed.
Yeah.
So I did the wrong thing and I went cold turkey. It was horrible. I ended up taking a week off of work. I was jonesing. I didn't know until later that getting off of that category of drug is like coming off of heroin.
I agree.
It's hard. It was the pits.
It is.
So I then went to a doctor and I had amazing healthcare at the time.
Mm-hmm. Was all this in SoCal?
This was all in SoCal. This just like it really opened my eyes to the suffering of others,
yeah,
especially students, because they'll have panic attacks and teachers blow it off like it's no big deal.
And that's hormonal.
Oh.
And for boys and girls, go through life stages as well. We just focus on girls because we're girls. Teenagers do too. And hopefully they're not on drugs, you know, and they're
on their own hormones.
Exactly. And they don't understand what's going on. And everybody thinks, oh, this is a disruptive child and they need to be
need love
Adderall
and care.
Or something. And yeah,
I know. So I ended up talking to a doctor and she was amazing. And she said, look, I think you're a super slow metabolizer. Apparently there's slow metabolizers and then there's super slow metabolizers. So I went, I joined a support group. I got a psychiatrist. I ended up loving this doctor because I went to see her multiple times during that week that I was not okay. And she was great. She said, you're a super slow metabolizer. And what's happening is every night when you take the pill, you have leftovers from the night before.
I understand.
And it's building up in your system. And so I'm not exaggerating when I tell you that a year later, they lowered the dose for females. I was on 10 milligrams a night and then they lowered it to 5.
Wow.
So I was on technically a double dose and I was a slow metabolizer.
So you were holding on to it.
I was holding on to it. My hair was falling out. I had lost 10 pounds, which I don't lose weight easily. Like I'm Irish. We hold on to our potatoes. So when she saw the drastic weight loss and the hair loss, she knew something was up. And then she said, I was part of 0.002 of the population that has this negative side effect with Ambien.
Wow.
And I thought, okay, well, for now on, I'm just going to not take drugs if I don't have to.
Exactly. So that's why you're using a natural method for your perimenopause.
Well, I mean, is it natural? I'm on chemical now because that was so long ago. I just had my birthday and I'm 49. So that was like year 36 of my life and it opened my eyes.
But you're not on any class level drugs.
Oh, no. I'm not on anything to help me with that part of my brain.
Right.
With my emotions of my brain. No. So I kind of suffered through the 30s. I'm being honest, I had the best therapist. I love her. She changed my life. She helped me with my panic attacks. She taught me these really cool exercises with my body. And whenever I would feel the emotions rushing through me, I'm going to say raging. Mm-hmm. They were raging
through
me.
It's a rage. It is.
She taught me how to focus and make it go away. So that was one of the best things that's ever happened to me. The second best thing that ever happened to me, besides me being able to control, you know, that roller coaster when it's uncontrollable, is that I have so much compassion for kids. And I've always been a compassionate person anyways. I mean, I'm everyone's favorite. I'm just going to put that out there. I'm everyone's favorite. I'm very popular as far as teachers go. And this just gave me a whole new level of compassion for kids that are suffering. And we have a lot of them. There are a lot of kids that suffer, yeah. Boys, girls, little tiny baby kids that are like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, like K-5. We've got a ton of them. And then they hit middle school and high school and they're not okay. And they have to deal with this emotional roller coaster that's uncontrollable. So I just feel so much compassion now. And that's the second best thing that's come out of this. So that therapy lasted me until I got to Nevada. I just have tools and coping skills. And I saw her, I want to say, for 4 years. One of the best things that's ever happened to me was my therapist.
I am a big proponent of therapy. I love therapy.
She changed my life. Yeah. And then I got here and now there's a, you know, therapy desert.
Well, the therapy for us here is each other, our horses, Oof. And being able to ride.
Yes. I do a lot of self-reflecting, which really, really helps me. I set all kinds of timers and I work through things now and I didn't do that before. But then when I started feeling angry and I was having all of these problems, I came to you.
And I never want to discount anybody's feelings. I know that there were certain times that you thought, you know, I have to say, you know that ovary pain
yes.
that you get? I still get it.
You do?
I do.
Wait, what?
I do. I still get it.
Shut the front
door. I always tell Michael, I think I pulled my ovary because that's what it feels like.
Are you kidding? Okay. I thought that I was going to have a break.
It might. For you, it might. For me, this is just me. This is mine. But I know that when you were getting certain pains, you were concerned that it might be something else. And I, in the back of my head, I knew it wasn't. But, if you have a friend like that, don't ever discount them. If they want to go get a CT scan, an MRI, just encourage them, support them. Tell them, go get it. Please report back and let me know what they find because you might have something. And then if you do, I want to be there for you.
That's
chances are you don't. But don't tell anyone that because, you know, it's real. It's a real fear because there's that handful of people that it isn't menopause and it is something else and then they're dealing with that. So you just want to make sure that if a friend comes to you and says, I think I'm going crazy, just ask them, okay, honey, where are we going?
And we did that on horses and you just took me out every weekend or sometimes after work and you're just there for me emotionally because I did feel crazy.
It's a hard feeling.
And I felt like my body is just doing all of these things that it's never done before. I was a lucky teenager. I didn't have the drama that other girls did.
And they don't teach this part.
No!
They just tell you that you're going to go into puberty and then you go into menopause. That's it. And what does menopause even mean? Pause.
Just you can pause the men.
Pause on the men. I love that. I heard that from someplace else, and I love that. It's true, though. So, you know, It's a scary thing. You don't want to like tell little girls everything because then they're just going to be scared all their life and you don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
But there needs to be something more to training. Maybe teach the different stages of life, you know, teach the premenopause and teach the, honestly, I thought premenopause was after perimenopause, but then I did my research before we sat down for this episode and I was wrong.
So basically my life is controlled by menopause. It pre, peri, yes. Post, plus the meno, whatever. Like,
yes.
How is my life controlled by that? Because I feel like my hormones.
Because you were born a woman.
I know.
We give life.
We are very powerful. We are. You know, I learned something that I thought was really cool in one of my science classes, and that is you are carrying the eggs that will become your grandchildren if you have a girl.
Isn't that crazy?
Dude, it's nuts.
It's so crazy.
If you have a baby girl, you create her eggs while she's inside of you. So you are carrying two generations.
Yep. That's crazy.
That's magic. But it's so powerful. Mm-hmm. And I never thought of it like that. And then when I realized that we are creating nations, we are creating humanity, like that's just such a big thing. Yes. But we have to pay the price for the the gift of creating life. And I didn't know that perimenopause was going to be this emotional roller coaster that I physically suffered through. I really do have physical side effects. Like I don't move the way I used to move. My tendons and ligaments are so tight.
And then that time you told me you woke up with a frozen shoulder. What? I've never had a frozen, I don't think I ever had a frozen shoulder, but the way you were describing it, I was amazed. I don't even know how you made it through the day.
And I get it more often than I want to, or I mean, I don't want to.
You still get it?
Oh, I still get it.
So for anyone listening out there that may have it or may yet to get it, what are the symptoms and what do you do to work yourself through it?
First, I cry. But there's three things that I personally do. I try to take Advil, I try to take caffeine, and I hydrate. I try to make sure that my body physically has everything it can to relax and make sure it's nourished. But the pain is intense.
How do you know you have it?
Because it hurts so bad that I can't move in a way, but it's more than that. It's like this tight ball on your shoulder that is almost like a rock, and it goes up my neck and it hurts into my face. The whole area hurts so bad. It reminds me of when, have you ever massaged someone who's like a secretary? They always have the knots in the same place because they hunch over all day.
That would be me.
Okay.
Yes.
So that spot on your shoulder that you're always in pain, it's that times 10.
Are you talking about your shoulder or the shoulder blade?
It's the muscle that's around
the shoulder blade.
I've
had frozen shoulder.
Okay, there you go. It is gnarly and a half.
Now, how does it differ from being at the computer hunched over and then you just get that? Because sometimes I get this pain. It's right in that crevice,
yeah,
around your shoulder blade. And it's just like I can't. I feel like I'm having a heart attack. If it's on my left side, I'm sure I'm having a heart attack. I can't do anything to make it go away, and it hurts so bad. And then one part of the day, it's just gone. It'll just stop hurting.
Yours just goes away?
I don't know if that's what it is. I'm just saying, I get this pain in my muscle around my shoulder blade, and I just thought it was because sometimes I am hunched when I'm at the computer. And it hurts so bad. There's nothing I can do to get away from the pain.
No.
I cannot put myself in any position where it stops hurting. And it just hurts. And then I'll take Advil. I'll massage it. I'll put my shoulder blade in the crevice of a door.
Uh-huh.
And I rub it.
Like a bear?
Yes.
Yes.
Is that what you do?
I do. They make these balls, girls. If you
need a tennis ball.
You can use a tennis ball, but if you get a massage ball, they have them on Amazon, and it looks like a baseball.
Okay.
It's a baseball because it's hard and heavy. So I hide it from my dogs because they'll, you know, mess it up. It's hard and heavy, but it has like this soft outer cushy, and I put it between me and the wall, and I'm just being honest, I take it everywhere with me. So when I'm in a lot of pain, I take that everywhere with me. I try to find a masseuse at that moment. I also see an acupuncturist at least twice a month to help me, because she really does help me. And then lately I've been going to the chiropractor. So if I do my chiropractic at least once a month, if I do my acupuncture twice a month, and I really do all of that self-care, I feel like it stays at bay.
Wow, I think I've had it this whole time and didn't know what it was.
That's what's going on.
So,
the other thing that you can do too is you go get a pedicure.
Oh, because the pressure points in your feet?
No. Well, I mean, there's that, but you go get yourself a really good pedicure and you sit in the massage chair.
Oh, the massage
chair. So that's
chair.
What I do if I can't go see the masseuse is I'll sit in the massage chair, and then my acupuncturist has a massage chair at her place, and it only costs $20.
Wow.
Yes. So I'll sit when I'm dying and I can't function, because my frozen shoulder lasts days, plural. It doesn't last a half hour. It's days.
No.
So I go sit in the massage chair, one of those ones that costs like 10 grand. Like, that is on my bucket list. I will be buying one of those.
And you know what? I have had that pain for longer than a day.
It's horrible.
See, here's the thing I hate about this whole menopause, this whole pause thing, is you could be suffering and you think it's because of something else you're doing. Mm-hmm. So you fix that. So I thought it was because I slouch at the computer. So a lot of times, I hope nobody at work is listening, especially my manager, but I don't think he'd ever listen to this. Sometimes throughout the day, I have a bed because my office is in a bedroom. I have a bed in my room. And so throughout the day, sometimes I will just lay down on my bed. So I'm flat and I just stretch and I'm just, you know, I straighten out and all this stuff. And that pain still won't go away.
No.
And here I'm trying to treat it because I think it's something else and I'm trying to change that. And that's not what it is.
No, it's hormones. And our hormones are so whack that I'm just going to say it fucks up our tendons and ligaments.
Well, then guess what? It goes into menopause.
Because now when I wake up, I shuffle.
I shuffle when I stand up.
When you stand up.
I have had this pain. See, I thought it was my lower back. And my grandmother, my maternal grandmother and my mother have both had hips replaced. And so it's just in my family, right? So, of course, I keep thinking that's what's going to happen to me. And so I get this pain right here. And sometimes I think, oh, is this a hip pain? But if I lay down and I massage, if I stick my thumb in it and I move around, the pain goes away. So I think it's a muscle. I think there's something pinching or a muscle, because if I pinch right with my thumb and I'm cutting off something, that pain goes away. So I don't think it's a hip socket issue. Whereas my mom and my grandma,
they had a hip socket.
Right. The fluid or whatever is in between the socket joint and the ball was deteriorating. So where they were just bone on bone. So they'd have to have that removed. So that's what I'm thinking it is, of course, because any little pain is a heart attack. I mean, you know those little pains you get in a breast? Right. I always think whenever it's on the left side, I'm having a heart attack. And that's what I thought that was. I'm like, oh my God, here it comes. But I don't think it is. And every doctor tells me it's because I'm overweight. That these pains that I get in my legs are because I'm overweight. And so here I am on the compounding formula of semaglutide, because I was saying it wrong all those years. I'm on that trying to lose weight. And guess what? It's starting to finally work.
That's cool.
Yeah, I dropped down below my 160. I'm 5 feet tall. I'm 160. Like, if you're 5'6 or 5'5, then you're 160. I'm sure you look amazing. At 5 feet tall, 160 looks different. And I'm starting to lose. So I'm very happy. But I still have these pains.
I was just going to say, have you tried that one lady on YouTube? And I think her channel is called Ask Dr. Joe.
You told me about that. I went and looked at it, but I haven't really watched anything. So tell me.
So Ask Dr. Joe is this lady who, and she has, you know, all of the things that say you need to see a doctor, but she has all these amazing stretches that are ridiculously wonderful. So if any of our listeners are struggling with pain, Ask Dr. Joe is where my chiropractor always tells me to go, and our doctor that we share.
Yeah.
He told us to go there too. And then the other channel that I really, really like is Jessica Richburg. She's this, she does yoga, but she has this yoga that is called restorative. So if you're not feeling well, you can just do her restorative yoga. I walk away from a 15, 20 minute session feeling less pain, feeling more restored. It really does work to stretch parts that you don't normally stretch. And she has all these different levels for you. And the whole thing is very quiet. So it's very calming at the same time. There's none of that where you work really, really hard if you're doing restorative yoga. It's gotten me through bad times when I'm having flares of my gut.
Okay.
So that's something you might want to look into too.
Okay. I will. Thank you very much.
And you know, all of this talk about ovaries and menopause, it just reminds me that mares probably going through something like this.
They don't ever go into menopause.
No, I know. But I mean, like, think of all of the pain and the struggles and everything.
Exactly.
Do you remember that one trainer we knew and she would actually have the ovaries taken out?
No.
Yes. At the barn.
At the first barn where we met?
At the first barn where we met.
Because I left.
Yeah. There was a trainer there. She, of course, always.
Is she at the other end?
She was in the middle.
Okay.
And she would literally have her mares neutered.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. She started getting.
I guess if you have the money for that.
She started getting the shots first for them of the birth control.
Oh.
And then that's when she had this epiphany that she should just neuter her mares. So she neutered the stallions and the mares, and then she just had these neutered horses.
And were they better behaved?
They were more chill and didn't suffer the side effect of maredom.
You know, I've used Regumate for my mares, but now that you're talking about a shot, I wonder if that would be a good thing.
It's expensive.
The shot is?
The shot is. That's what they use on the Mustangs. I was on it.
Depro-Provera.
She got me through my 20s.
I thought that was a childbirthing thing.
No, Depo shot. She got me through my 20s. I will always love Depo, but I heard that it's really bad for you, but that's okay. She got me through my 20s. I never made a baby in my 20s. So that was one of the best things also that ever happened to me was Depo, but apparently you can give it to horses.
Wow.
And it'll get them through their heat cycles. I know, who knew? But they give it to the pine nut herd, and that's how they control the births of horses instead of having to have to do roundups. It's the only herd in the United States that has management that is so closely done like that, that they don't have to do roundups.
I love our state.
I know, I love our state too. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I feel for them, and like I said, you know, when I had Autumn and Kaya together, and they're both going into their heat, you know, it's awful because they're both pissed off.
Can relate. I don't know. I feel like the life stages of horses, I've been blessed to be at every stage. Birth, life, death, teenagehood.
I really would like to, you know, maybe have a little baby horse. And I know that a couple of people, including yourself, have thought, you know, maybe at some point I should put a baby in Kaya. The only problem is I have to think about my own life stage because right now I feel like I'm in my brain, I'm 25. My body is not. And I don't bounce as easily as I used to and I break and all that other shit. So if I think about it, she's 6 years old. Let's say I put a baby in her at 10. Or 11, then that pregnancy takes a year. I'm going to be 65, and then the baby's born, and it can't be ridden until it's 5, just for argument's sake. And then I'm 70. Do I really want to do that? I don't know. And then that baby's going to probably outlive me because I'll be 70.
Happens?
So if that baby lives until it's 30, I'm 90, I've got really good genes. Mm-hmm. My side of the family has lived into their hundreds. So as far as I'm concerned, as long as I don't F it up, I'm going to live until I'm 100. And hopefully by then, they'll figure out a way to let me live until I'm 120. I don't know. So those are the things that I think we have to think about when it comes to our own life stages and the life stages of our horses.
I love that you're thinking about it, truly. I always had this really crazy thought about how long a bird plans for a baby.
A bird.
A bird. They have
how
brains.
How do we switch to birds?
Because it's an animal, and I've always just had this weird thought about how birds have brains the size that's smaller than an eraser on a pencil.
They just procreate. They don't think about anything.
No, but think about how long that they prepare for baby. They prepare for weeks, and their brain is smaller than an eraser. People get pregnant like this. People get pregnant when they don't want to get pregnant.
You need a license to drive a car, but yet you can get pregnant and they just send you home with that baby.
Just send you home. And here you are thinking about your horse's future, which I love that. I love that you have a plan for that because that's how I always want to train my horses. I want them to be able to go on without me. Whether you adopt Armani, whether
coming here. So anybody listening that thought they were going to get Armani if something happens to Kara, no. Armani is going to be mine. Just going to put that out there. I think that person knows who I'm talking to. I love you, but Armani's staying here.
Yes, I've always been that way with my horses, especially the ones that were very plain. So when I would train a really plain horse.
Plain how?
Plain looking, plain stocky.
Because people don't want a plain horse. They
no.
want flash.
Yeah. And when I trained ponies, especially for ponies, you have to make sure that those ponies are well trained because if a pony drops a kid.
Ponies are evil.
Yes, exactly. That's what people think. And then they turn into dog food. So I've always had this worry in the back of my mind of I have to make sure that my horse is able to be somebody else's horse easily. I need to make sure that I don't have it in a quirky state that it can't be with another human. That is what I'm trying to give
everybody
to all of my horses.
Everybody should do that.
You know, like it's kind of like raising a teenager. Like in that transition from teenager to adulthood, you want your kids to be independent. I want someone at an auction to recognize if my horse is ugly and bleeding with sores, that someone recognizes, oh, that's a good horse. So imagine your horse, but all jacked up because it's been on the kill truck or on the kill circuit for 3 months.
Yeah.
I want someone to recognize, oh, that horse is a good baby, even though it's all messed up. I'm going to buy that one. I don't know why I've always thought that way. And I love that that's what you're doing.
Thank you.
Having that pre-thought, because I am going to die and you're going to die.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
And I want to make sure that my horses are okay.
I'm coming back.
You are, but you're not going to haunt my house.
Well, I might.
Dude,
I might.
I mean, if you could be an angel for me.
Well, angels are not people. It's a misnomer.
I didn't know that.
No, people don't die and become angels.
Oh.
Angels are a separate
thing?
Whole episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
They're actually not male or female.
I did not know that either.
Oh my gosh. Have you never taken a religion course?
I actually did, but I didn't
Don't
learn
remember?
About that.
Yeah. No. I remember this was a focus and they were talking about angels because people, you know, say that, you know, my dad died and now he's an angel watching over him. He's like, no.
He's just watching.
I hope he's not watching.
I know. I hope my
Somebody
family's
said
not
that.
Watching.
So my dad passed away. I know I'll get this wrong. And if any of my sisters listen to this, I know they'll reach out and tell me I'm wrong. I think it was maybe like 2017, it's been a while. And I remember I was at the other barn that you took me to when I had to leave the barn we met at.
Okay, the second one.
Yes, and he died. And I remember going home after the funeral and I was telling somebody at the barn who thought she was saying something very sweet. And I said, you know, my dad died and stuff. And she's like, oh, you know, he's watching over you now. And I know that's something that everybody says and everybody thinks is a sweet thing to say, but I don't want my dad to see me naked or having sex or masturbating or doing something that I really would like to be alone doing.
I love you
it's
so much.
It's not the thing to say.
I love you so much that you said that because it's true.
I don't want that. The only one I would maybe hope is watching over me is my grandma, Heber, because she was progressive. She'd be like, yeah, baby, go for it. But my dad, no.
No.
So I don't know if we mentioned this at the beginning when we were talking about Mary, but we are going to go see Tyler Henry in September.
Yes.
I am going to take, because he will hold objects. I don't even know how close our seats are going to be.
I don't either.
I don't know if we'll even be lucky enough to be chosen, but I am taking some objects because he will hold objects. And I was watching his, if anybody doesn't know who Tyler Henry is, Netflix has his shows. And the one that he does where he's trying to help his mom figure out why she found her. Oh my gosh.
I know. It's a lot.
It's overwhelming.
You need to go binge it. I watched that one.
You guys have to watch it.
Because she doesn't have a connection with her family. Like there's this weird situation.
She has a connection with her family, but her mother, who she thought was her biological mother, was a murderer. She's in prison. She's still alive. At the point of what I was watching, she's still alive. And she found out through DNA testing that Tyler did that she's not her biological mom. And then she goes to find out that her siblings, who are African American, but it didn't make them think anything was odd because the mother had been with a African American guy. So that's the reason why the children were dark. And then she was dating a white guy. So it didn't dawn on them that this white baby that came home was not their half-sister.
Wasn't just the product of that union.
Right, right. So they grew up thinking, and it was awful. She tortured them. She abused them. And then she finds out she had this whole other family. And all this, so watch it. Just watch it.
Yeah.
And I was, so at the end of it, he's talking about where he's going to a live show. And right before the live show, he was getting inundated with messages from people that were probably connected to the people in the audience that were going to be at the show. So, Dad, I'm going to the show. It's in September. Not sure what you have on your calendar right now. However, if you could please reach out to Tyler, I'm going to be there. I'm going to have an object of yours, and I really want to just touch base.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
I wonder, I'm going to bring something from my friend that passed away when I was young.
The horsey person?
The horsey person. She was my best friend. I'm going to cry because she only lived to be really young. She was in her early 20s.
And do you have something of hers?
Actually, she was 19. I was 20. No, but you know what? I'm going to look around my tax shed. I am positive that I have something in there that used to belong to her. Because her and I were pretty much soulmates. And her death completely changed the course of my life.
Aw.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You know what it's like. I mean, you and I have a synergy that's like a sister.
Exactly.
So imagine like me losing you.
Exactly. Ugh. No.
I rue the day. I rue the day.
I'm not dying.
Okay.
Not dying. So do we have anything else to share? Are we done?
I think we're done. I want to be transparent and just say that I am so thankful for you.
Thank you.
I would not be the happy, healthy human I am if you were not in my life.
I love you too.
Because I feel like you're this tsunami wall. Like in Japan, they have the tsunami walls. You're my wall.
The menopause tsunami wall.
On so many fronts, you're my tsunami wall.
Well, and in that same vein, I am so thankful to have you in my life, too. I don't know that we would have even moved up here. I mean, obviously, I didn't move for Gira.
But you did.
Yes, I did. No, but seriously, like, I would not be having this adventure in SoCal. Like, there's no one down there, except for maybe Darlene. But, you know, she's got her, God, she's got such an adventure. Her life is, you know, she's got stuff, you know. So I would have to move to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably wouldn't have, because Michael wouldn't have wanted to live in that remote of an area in Southern California, blah, 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 blah. Darlene, you know I love you because I know she listens to our episodes. Like, if I was still in SoCal, it would be Darlene, but not like this, because we wouldn't be living around the corner from each other.
No.
Which is so
I feel
nice.
Like we live on the same farm.
I feel thankful for you as well. I love you.
Love you too, friend.
Toodles.
Toodles. Hey, friends. That's the end of today's ride. We hope you enjoyed listening. Don't forget to follow Saddle Talk with Sandy and Kara, wherever you get your podcasts. Please leave us a review, share us with a friend, and saddle up with us next time as we ride through more stories, questions, and our wild tangents. Till then, friends, keep your boots dusty and your hard hats on. We hope to see you out on the trail.
Sandy and Kara stir up swinging free, talking about life and love and mystery.
mystery. From coyotes to coffee, they'll cover it all with the sagebrush blowing and the wild birds call. So cinch up your boots, we're hitting the track. Saddle Talk's on and we're not looking back.